All righty, let's open our Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. We're going to continue our study on spiritual understanding. Spiritual understanding as we look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2. This is the third part of this series, which kind of ties in with the things that we were talking about a little bit before. But I want to challenge us today along the lines of, have you ever wondered why some people get it and some people don't? You know, that's always amazed me. But then I also think why others get it and I don't sometimes. You know, that even amazes me more. You know, I think we can usually trace the problem back to one source. You know, are we operating out of our spirit or are we operating out of our flesh, the two natures that we have? You know, one of the natures only deals with factual information, while the other one has the ability to operate out of revelation knowledge. And that's really where we need to get. Now let's see what God has in store for us today as we read our main passage, which is 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9 to 16. It says, "But just as it is written, things which eye has not seen and ear has not heard, and which has not entered the heart of man, all that God has prepared for those who love Him. For to us God revealed them through the Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, even the depths of God. For who among men knows the thoughts of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so the thoughts of God no one knows except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we may know the things freely given to us by God. Which things we also speak, not in words taught by human wisdom, but in those taught by the Spirit, combining spiritual thoughts with spiritual words. But a natural man does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. He cannot understand them, because they are spiritually appraised. But he who is spiritual appraises all things, yet he himself is appraised by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord, that he will instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ." Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for the unction today by the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, we know that you are the teacher to reveal things to us, things that we don't know. And right now, we just open ourselves up to the things of God. We want what you have for us, Lord. I yield to the gift you give me. I use it for your glory, Lord. I pray for words to both pierce and penetrate to leave my lips and for the gifts of the Spirit to be in operation. We bind Satan from trying to steal the word out of our heart in any way, shape, or form. In Jesus' name, amen. Now we're going to recap a little bit what we've looked at so far of this passage. Number one, we've kind of looked at, especially week number one, is that God loves everybody. I think we'd all agree with that. God loves everybody. But it also kind of points out the fact that only the ones that love God back will get all the good things that God has prepared for us. So it's more than just God loves us, we have to love Him back. And that goes into saying, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. So it talks about a living and active relationship that we have with Him. Next, we kind of looked at the idea that we could all probably, if we're honest, when we look in the mirror, that we could all say, I need to go deeper with God. You know, maybe you feel you're deep now, but I think we'd all say that I need to go deeper with God. And I think that we need to learn how to get over our head. You know, I've always said, I don't like playing in the baby pool. I like to go in the 12-foot. You know, I like to get it over my head, and I think that's how we need to get with God, is we need to go deeper than we are now. Because many times we settle for what we have when God has so much more. Then last week we looked at the idea that we only see dimly, so we need help to be able to see better. And we looked at the idea of many of us here, especially living in Iowa, you know, in sometimes our windshield can get a little foggy when there's two different temperatures. And we live in a world where it's a different temperature than, you know, than we want. And sometimes that windshield gets a little foggy. And sometimes we're honest, we all start out driving before we've really cleaned our windshield off. And we've, you know, maybe gotten in some trouble, almost hit somebody. Next, we'll look at the idea of how the Holy Spirit is here to lead us and reveal the deeper things to us from God. And that's what the Holy Spirit, His ministry, is to you and I. And that's why it's so important that we start to understand what it is that the Holy Spirit wants to do in our lives and how he wants to lead us. So we need to get to know him better. The Holy Spirit is a person. He's not a thing. You know, we believe in the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit is just as much God as God the Father and God the Son. And the Holy Spirit is the third part of the Trinity, the part that lives inside of you and I. Once we become a Christian, our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. So he's with us every step of the way, even though sometimes we may not feel him. Now, also we looked at the idea that the Holy Spirit will reveal to us the why that's behind the what. You know, a lot of people settle for the what, meaning just the information part. I, on the other hand, the way I'm wired, I like to know why. Why something works or why something does the way it does. And that makes me inquisitive. And, you know, and some things God, you know, God may not show me everything, but I do know that, you know, the closer we get to him, we understand the why of how things work in the kingdom of God. And we start to operate in those principles. You know, it's hard to understand how how somebody dying on a cross and being nailed to that cross and their blood is shed, how that can save you from your sins. But if you understand the why, the power that's in the blood, and as you look through the Old Testament and see how that all ties together, about there's life in the blood, and the life of God has the power over the devil's death, amen? So there's life in that blood. The power that's in that blood of Christ. And today what we're going to do, we're going to look at the idea there's really three kinds of people. You know, and we're going to kind of break that down a little bit. You know, we're going to kind of pick up in verse 14. And it talks about where the natural man doesn't understand the things of God because they're foolishness to him. And I think we've all been there, right? If we're honest, you know, I know before I was saved, you know, I knew I dabbled in Christianity a little bit. You know, I would maybe check a few things out. I'd maybe look at the Bible periodically. You know, maybe, you know, Brother Billy Graham went on TV. I might watch him a little bit. But, you know, a lot of that stuff just went over my head. I didn't really understand it because I wasn't born again yet. In the natural mind, you know, I looked at things and it just didn't connect and it didn't compute, you know, how things work. And that's what we're going to see here. Number one is the natural man is also looked at in Scripture as the unspiritual man. To me as a believer, that is probably one of the biggest slaps in the face if somebody told me I was unspiritual. You know, because I know that, you know, as a Christian, I want to be spiritual. Now this is talking about somebody that's really unregenerated yet, we're going to see. And this is talking about the Greek word, the natural man. It talks about the Greek word psychikos. And that's not exactly how you pronounce it, just in case you were wondering. There is. I do have a little app in my Bible study software, but I didn't figure you guys really cared. So maybe some of you do, and we can look that up together if you want. And really, if you really want to flip out some good Greek at people, I have that. I have access. But anyway, it's talking about the idea of refers to the unregenerated or one who is governed by their own natural instincts. You know, that kind of paints a little more picture. And what got us along this train of thought is sometimes we get mad at unsaved people why they can't see it. Maybe you have unsaved loved ones. Maybe you have somebody you work with that is irritating you. They don't really want to know God, you know. And we have to remember they're not where we are right now. We have to show them a little bit of grace. Not to justify their lifestyle, but to understand where they're at because we used to be there. When the God of this world blinded our eyes so that we couldn't see. And see, this kind of person has the thing in common with animals because they don't have a spirit. Now, I want to clarify that. We're born with a spirit, but due to the sin nature, our spirit is dead unto God. It hasn't been born again yet or made new or made alive unto God. You know, we're born. Now, some theologians believe in a dichotomy. I believe in a trichotomy. You know, I believe we're a spirit, soul, and body. And a lot of people in our persuasion are along the same way. I don't know exactly why some theologians only go, they look at the inner man, soul and spirit, as being almost the same thing. I see in Scripture that it's very painted out that it is two separate entities to a degree. You know, man is a spirit, he has a soul, and we live in a body. this body is only the house for the inner person. And only in Hebrews 4:12, where it talks about the idea that only the Word of God can make a separation between the soul and the spirit. We're not going to go there today, but you can look at that yourself at your leisure. Now, so this person who is unregenerated, they're operating out of that fallen instinct due to the sin of Adam. Man was born close to God when he was created. God breathed life into him. And through that life, they had that relationship with God. But when the enemy, Satan, came through the serpent and tempted Eve, and she partook of the fruit and ate, and then Adam did the same, they did that in rebellion to God. And the separation came. And then that fallen instinct, where we were forced to live without that connection, that divine connection that God has for us, that we need to get back to. And that means that we're operating out of sense knowledge. And we're going to look at that a little deeper here in a moment. Just to operate by the senses. Now, most of us probably have seen an airplane, right? We all could probably look and say, yeah, I've been on. Most people's probably flown on an airplane. You know, some don't like to fly. But if you, let's say, were born on a remote island and had never seen an airplane before, and they popped you on that boat and they hauled you to town or whatever, and then you went up to Des Moines at the airport there and you looked out there on the runway and you see that big object with wings sitting there, and you said, you think that can fly? You'd probably say no. There's no way that big, heavy thing can ever get off the ground, because you're looking at it in the senses. You look at how many, you know, how many tons of metal and object is sitting there, and there's no way that thing's ever going to fly. You've maybe tried flying yourself, jumped out of a tree, jumped off a roof as a kid. Gravity takes effect, right? Gravity is real. Anybody that's ever climbed a tree and lost their grip know how real gravity really is, right? We've all had that happen. But we don't understand a higher law. There's a higher law that can come into play, and that's called the law of lift. And see, the law of lift goes beyond what our senses understand to a degree, because the law of lift, due to the curvature of the wing, the way it's made, if you apply a extreme speed to that, the air pressure on top of the wing becomes less than the air pressure below, and that causes the plane to rise. But see, if you look at it in the natural, you're not going to get that. But you have to have the why. You need the why. And as you get the why, then you have that understanding. Now what happens is that the reason why we don't understand a lot of things, we know that the God of this world, you know, we become worldly-minded. Worldly-minded. You know, as we're born, and then as we grow up, you know, they advertise on TV all these worldly things. And coming across the radio stations, all these songs, worldly things. And then you're talking about all these stuff, and you go to school, you know, especially once they kick God out of school, you know, they talk about all these worldly things, and all these worldly things, they just keep coming into our mind, and, you know, and it develops our intellect, but it's that fallen intellect that is separated from God. And as we gain all this information, then we're trained out of our senses to only believe what we can see, what we hear, what we smell, what we taste, and what we touch. Those are the primary vehicles by which we assimilate information now. And that limits us in the things of God. Because God wants to train us along a different line, which we're going to look at here in a minute. And what happens is, because they don't have the Holy Spirit, because if you're not unregenerated and not born again, the Holy Spirit does not live inside of you. But we're under the dominion of Satan, and we're blinded. Now, many of you have a kid has probably had to wear a blindfold before. Can you imagine living your life wearing a blindfold? What that's like? All the while, you have the potential to see, but yet you can't see because you're blinded. And see, that's what it's like when we're blinded, because Satan comes in to steal, kill, and destroy, and he blinds us from being able to see the truth. And then just every now and then, I remember the different times that God came into my life in the sense where he was trying to draw me, but yet I would maybe hold back a little bit because the blinders were on. I wasn't ready to yield until I finally did, and praise God, I finally got it. So the unspiritual person is enslaved to that flesh nature and its passions. And that flesh nature has hunger to want to do things that are contrary to the things of God. It wants to be self-satisfied. And as it says there, that it's foolishness to them. They can't comprehend God's ways, and they only rely on those emotions. And those spiritual things become foolishness. And we've all been mocked by unbelievers. They don't understand why. How can you believe that somebody dying in your place? You know, now you think you're better than me? You know, is that what you're saying? No, that's not what we're saying. We're just smarter than you. No. It just means that the blinders have been removed. And we can see clearly now. Our windshield's cleaned off, praise God. You know, I used to wear glasses. I've had that LASIK done. And, you know, I remember being teased about wearing glasses, you know, and somebody come up and lick their fingers and wipe your glasses and just so you can't see. And then you walk in from the cold and into a hot house and you just can't see nothing, you know. And that's really what the unsaved person is really going through. And that's why we need to pray that God opens their eyes. You know, to me, they're really conformed to this world and this culture. And the culture's getting tougher. You know, many would probably say, you know, that, you know, the kids that's raised today, the things they have to deal with, you know, the battles that come on to the ugliness of this world, and how pornography and all these things that are getting grosser and grosser, things that young people have to deal with, is not some things that maybe I had to deal with as much. You know, because the end is drawing near, perhaps. So the enemy knows, and he's getting more worried, and he's trying to take as many people as he can, and, you know, we need to liberate as many as we can. And so they're driven by their self-exalting and their bodily appetites. You know, just like an animal. Now, I know that sounds cruel, and don't go to work tomorrow and tell somebody, one of your friends that's not saved, you're just like an animal. My pastor said so. That's not the way to make friends, is it? And influence people. But, you know, when you're unsaved and you don't have the ability to be able to tap into a spiritual God, that's really what it's like. Now, let's look at a little better news. The spiritual man. Now, remember the soulish man was the psycho. Now we're going to look at the pneumaticos. Now, that's not how you pronounce that either. But it's pneuma. Pneuma. That's spirit or breath. And that's what God, you know, has for the believer. You know, this is a regenerated person. And this person has the Holy Ghost living inside of them. And that's really where the life's at. And that's where we want to get to. That's where we want to operate from. We want to flow from that potential. And this pneumaticos is talking about that spiritually minded person that thinks the thoughts of God. Remember, we looked at that Old Testament scripture, or alluded to it, where God said in the Old Testament, my ways are not your ways. And if that's how you think, that's a cop-out, because that's Old Testament. That's pre-Holy Spirit coming to live inside of you. When the Holy Spirit comes to live inside of you, then God's ways can become our ways. Because God enlightens our imagination through the Spirit. Because we are a spirit being, and we have contact again with God. You know, maybe we don't have the same sort of relationship that we read in Genesis where Adam just walked with God. You know what I mean? Wouldn't that have been kind of awesome? You know, our relationship's a little different because we have God inside of us, but yet we still deal with the double nature, you know, the old nature a little bit, and we all know what that's like. How many, sometimes you don't even like yourself, you know what I mean? Yeah, I mean, just be honest, sometimes I don't even like me. You know, let alone like somebody else, you know. And we get that way. But see, this pneuma person, if we just look to that, then we'll start to gain momentum in our life. And it's all about spiritual momentum as we grow in Christ. And this kind of person is dominated by the Holy Spirit. I like that word, dominated? Does the Holy Spirit dominate our life? I think that's a good point. Do we let Him rule and reign in our life? Are we mindful of Him? You know, if we're mindful of something, then we're thinking about it. It's on the front burner. A lot of times we put God on the back burner. And this person here has a desire to resist those sensual desires and sin's dominion. Just because you're saved doesn't mean you don't have an inclination to sin. It just means you have the power and the potential to overcome sin by the grace and the power of God. And see, that's what we have to yield to. We have to allow that growth process where we start to gain that spiritual momentum, where we start to receive that revelation knowledge, and we start to understand the why. And when we get the why, that helps us to be able to flow with the what, so that we understand the things that God has prepared for us, and we can walk in those things, and we can start to dominate in our life the spiritual things. And we get there, and it's a step-by-step process. Now, the spiritual person knows that they're in a battle that they have to resist. And this is the thing. See, the unspiritual person sometimes doesn't realize there's a battle out there. But a spiritual person's wise enough to know about the two natures, the old nature, the new nature, and the fact that the spiritual nature needs to has to operate in dominance in our life, and that there's that battle. And I've always explained it, you know, like, you know, it's a trench warfare deal, like in World War I or II. You know, as you get older, you just see how stupid war is. But, you know, sometimes war is necessary. Today, they hit buttons and shoot you from a long ways away. But back then, you would fight over a little piece of hill there. And you got one enemy all dug trenched in on this area. And then you got another trench is dug in here. And they're down there just taking pot shots at each other. Little by little, they gain ground. And then till finally they win. And that's kind of what the walk is for us. Jesus has already won. He's paid the price on the cross. But yet, due to the old nature trying to resist, it tries to rise up and fight against us. So that's why by the Spirit, we have to gain ground and let that new person start to rise up inside of us. Now, the person that is spiritual has a desire to develop their faith walk. Now, we all have a faith walk. A faith walk starts that day that you say that, you know, you repent, you turn from your sins, and you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. Somehow a light bulb went on and you've been illuminated, your spirit is made new, and you're starting to walk that faith walk. And it's a walk that, you know, is developed. You start out as a little feller, and then you grow up in Christ, and your faith starts to be developed, and then you start to be able to eat meat. Praise God. Hallelujah, I love steak. You know, I like meat. You know, I eat a lot of vegetables too because I have to, you know what I'm saying? You know, you just can't eat all that other stuff because I know I have to, you know, operate in wisdom. But, you know, all these things kind of come into play, the things that we have to deal with. And so, and we also understand that a spiritual person, we have dual citizenship, right? Does anybody here have dual citizenship in the natural? Some may come from another country now. Usually, okay, Maria does. A lot of times, the United States won't let you do that sometimes. They're kind of fussy. But I knew when we went to Greece a lot, I'd meet a lot of Greeks, and a lot of them would keep their Greek passport, and they would have their American passport because they were citizens of the United States. But yet, Greece would let them have dual citizenship. Well, they would flip out whatever passport was more beneficial to them at the time. You know, and, you know, but we as Christians, we have a dual citizenship. We're really citizens in heaven, but yet we live down here in this earth. So it all depends where our allegiance is. Where's our allegiance stronger? Is our allegiance more to this country or is our allegiance more to God? And I think we need to get to the place where we care more about God. So we've looked at the two people so far. We looked at the, you know, the natural man, and we looked at the spiritual man. Now we're going to look at the third one, and that's worldly Christians. This is when it gets really fun. No, it doesn't get really fun. It kind of gets stepping on our toes. And that's found in the first few verses of the next chapter. And it says in 1 Corinthians 3, verse 1 to 3, it says that I, brethren, could not speak to you as spiritual men, but as to men of flesh, as to infants in Christ. I gave you milk to drink, not solid food. For you are not able to receive it yet. Indeed, even now you are not able, for you are still fleshly. For since there is jealousy and strife among you, you are not fleshly, and are you not walking like mere men? Now, Paul is dealing with carnal Christians here in the Corinthian church. Now, as you read 1 and 2 Corinthians, man, that church was messed up. They got issues in there. You know, a lot of crazy stuff. You know, the next few verses talks about how some were really fighting about, I'm of Apollos, I'm of Paul. In one instance, one, you know, must have been the stepson, I think, married or whatever, one of their parents. You know, different things like that. You know, just kind of weird stuff going on in that church. Had a lot of sexual sins, a lot of different stuff happening in that church. And Paul was dealing with them because they were what the flesh calls sarkikos, which is called fleshly, carnal, or worldly. You know, they had a theme song back then. I don't know if, you know, it's called I'm a Soul Man. You ever heard that one? Yeah, I can't, you know, I'll spare you, but, you know, I remember a lot of people singing that. They love that song. I'm a soul man. Now, if a believer, now I'm not saying you unplug your brain. I don't want them going with this. Your soul is important, your mind, your will, your intellect, and your emotions. But we don't let it dominate, you know, because we have to remember the spiritual side. But if that's our theme song, that we just want to live out of our soul, then we're limited by sense knowledge. We're limited by only information and not revelation. And God's plan for the believer is to operate out of revelation knowledge, things that are revealed to them by God. Now, some Christians, you know, they have that split, you know, they don't have the dual citizenship sorted out, so these people have a split personality disorder. You ever ran across somebody like that? Spooky. You know what I mean? They're dealing with those things. They have two personalities inside of them. And all of a sudden, you know, you'll be talking to one person, and then all of a sudden another one comes out. You know, and that one there sometimes isn't good. Now, I'll be pointing fingers, no, but, oh. You're pointing to the baby, right? Yeah. No. But all those things happen, you know, we get that personality disorder. And, you know, we need to be to the place where we're not a worldly Christian because we need to get beyond milk. Now, like I say, milk's good. I put a little milk in my oatmeal, you know, and, you know, maybe a malt or something like that. But yet, as you get older, you know, you just can't live on milk. You got to have other stuff. But this is talking about a Christian that never wants to grow up. You know, and that's a sad state. They never want to grow. They're the same as they were the day they got saved on a spiritual level. They've peaked out already. Man, we don't want that. We want to go from glory to glory. That's what God's talking about. And that's how He wants us to get in our life. So as we go to, you know, solid food, that's where we start to grow. Now, I think it has to do with their palate. Now, a lot of us have different palates. Some people like me and my wife, we have different tastes sometimes when it comes to things we like to eat. I mean, as you get married long enough, you grow on each other, kind of like a fungus, right? You know? And we grow on each other, so we start to like similar things now. But when we first started out, you know, we'd almost kill each other trying to find a restaurant that we could both agree on. No, not that bad. But I mean, you know, it just had different tastes. And this person here, it's talking about their palate. They just wanted milk all the time. They don't want to grow. And that's why we need to grow past that. You know, to be spiritual, it's not by works. It's not by works righteousness. But it does take effort. You know, back in when I was a kid, they talked about the three R's in school. Reading, writing, arithmetic. They didn't teach spelling back when I was a kid. Evidently. But I think when it comes to the things of God, we have the three R's. Number one, remove the hindrances. Number two, resist the temptation. Number three, repeat. Amen? You got to remove them. You got to get that stuff out of your life. If there's something dragging you down, move it out of the way. Don't live with it. Don't live with that temptation. And then you need to resist it. Not go back to it. And then no matter how many times you have to do that process, you keep doing it over and over and over. Now, the old nature, what we need to understand, there's no saving it. I hope you're not trying. You can't save your old nature. You can only put it to death. See, that's a misconception we have. You know, just like some people marry somebody that needs a little work, they think they can fix them. You know, that's happened before. But see, we can never fix our old nature. We can only put it to death. And that happens like that trench warfare as we let the spirit side grow and we put to death them evil passions and desires by resisting and walking away from those things. Then it starts to shrivel up and die. And then that spirit side starts to really become alive. And because one of the biggest enemies that you and I have is the enemy of the old self that tries to rise up. Now, we cannot compromise when it comes to this area. We can't compromise with the world. You know, the world's always saying you have to compromise. There's, you know, in marriage you can compromise, but you can't compromise about the things of God. Now, there's three things to watch for or to stay away from so we don't become a carnal Christian. A carnal Christian. You know, I don't know if that's talking about being a meathead or what. You know, I've heard that referred to it that way before. Carnal, carnality, you know, carnivore, you know, meat eater, you know, carnal Christian. I don't know if that's where they're going with it. But number one, they stop growing in grace due to the preoccupation in worldly matters. They're carnally minded. Now, think about this, people. What occupies our mind is what we gravitate to. Let's say you're mad at somebody. Somebody wronged you. And you let that control your mind. Or maybe they've wronged your kids or your spouse or something. And for several days, all you can think about is that wrong. That wrong. How they wronged you. And it becomes so big and so much a part of your life that it just takes control. It takes control of your life. It's carnally minded. So we have to turn our thinking around so that we think about the right things. But then on the other hand, if you think about forgiveness and we think about God and that preoccupies our mind, well, then that's what we gravitate to, and that's what we more turn into. Number two is, due to being carnally minded, they find themselves conformed to this world and end up being disciplined by the Lord. The Lord will discipline us. Talks about it. The best way we're disciplined is through the Word, you know, and that's the way to do it, you know. That's why we need to stay in the Word. I don't know, I've read something in the Bible that just, you know, bam, hit me upside the head. I need to fix that. I need to change that. You know, I'm not doing that right. That's the best, because we don't want to be disciplined by the world. Lastly is the danger of apostasy. A lot of people don't like to talk about apostasy. That's a fancy word that talks about falling away, departing from the faith because they've been unwilling to purify themselves. Now, there's two predominant thoughts in the body of Christ. Number one, you can never lose your salvation. Number two, you can lose your salvation. One believes in eternal security, the other doesn't. I lean towards the fact that you can. Really, they're talking about the same thing. Somebody that believes in eternal security will tell you, let's say Brother Jeff here got into the church, got all fired up, doing the Holy Ghost dance and everything, and, you know, was here every Sunday for a year. Then all of a sudden, boom, just dropped off the planet. Don't know where he's at. Went back in the world. I would consider him backslidden or maybe fallen away. Somebody who believes in eternal security would say he was never saved in the first place. They're saying the same thing. He needs to be brought back, right? That's the goal. You know, so however you want to slice it or dice it, it's just the way it is. The goal is restoration, to bring our brother or sister back to where they need to be. So we need to be careful about that. So in closing, how do you apply these things? Number one, you got to take control of your spiritual life. Own it. It's your job. My job. You know, number one, I'm the shepherd over you, but yet I don't go home with you. Amen? Other than my wife. You know, so you have to exert some effort on your side to own your own spiritual life. Number two, press in. Go after God with all your heart. That'll help you not to be a carnal Christian. Number three, don't confess I'm only human, because we're more than that now. I believe we need to make solutions instead of excuses. You know, I like to find out how I can instead of why I can't. You know, look at those things. And lastly, real simple, watch what you're mindful of. You know, maybe take a little notebook along someday for a week or so and just kind of write down different things that you think about. How many bad things you think about, then how many good things you think about, and keep a score. That'll tell you if you're spiritually minded or carnally minded. Then you can make adjustments in your life. Amen?